Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning and happy Easter. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, as we welcome you to Our Shepherd's View on this glorious day. Happy Easter to you, Bishop.
Happy Resurrection Day.
Yes, very joyous day, very happy day. And it got here a whole lot faster than I think a lot of people anticipated. Lent just went by so quickly.
It's because life's so full and beautiful, right?
Yes, we made it through the season of Lent. We thank you, Bishop, for those beautiful reflections that you did that were available on the website at diocesecc.org/Lent and how they helped us all through the journey. But here we are on Easter, and all of it works together to lead us to this moment of the resurrection. Well, our gospel this morning is from St. John. So, Bishop, if you would please share that with us now.
This is the gospel taken from St. John, chapter 20. Verses 1 to 9. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A very familiar gospel reading on this Easter Sunday, and it sums up what we've been hearing in the scriptures since Holy Thursday. And the last 3 days.
Yes, right. So Thursday we celebrated the Eucharistic feast of Jesus's Last Supper, and a kind of that Last Supper, which we celebrate every day, and most particularly every Sunday, is really every Sunday is a summation of what we're celebrating now over these past 3 days and today on Easter Sunday, the resurrection of the Lord. And then on Friday, of course, we stopped and everything became somber and reliving, re-experiencing in feeling and in celebration the death of the Lord on the cross and the great sacrifice, the great gift of his love in that solemn moment on Calvary so many years ago. And then Saturday, we could say, was really kind of a down day. It's meant to be the day after a death, the day after a burial. It's kind of leaves an emptiness in our hearts. But I think it was good to celebrate that and to realize the meaning of that missing of someone that is so dear to us. And then, of course, Saturday night and then today, Sunday morning, we celebrate the great event of the resurrection. But it all goes together. It's what we call a paschal, the passing over, the paschal mystery of the Lord from death to resurrection. And that is the beauty of the meaning of this day, that the Lord has risen from the dead. He has conquered sin and death, and in that has opened for us the way to eternal life, something we don't think of in this kind of present now culture. Easy get, choice culture, but it's all about eternal life, not this life, but the next life. That's what we're all about.
And Bishop, when you mention the paschal mystery, we hear the word mystery, and we think of the mystery of faith. And we think of the resurrection and how all of it is a part of our faith.
It is. And I think this would be a great moment today to really look at what does paschal mystery mean in life. It is a mystery, and it is the pattern of our life. So death and resurrection, and sometimes we may see it so far away from our understanding. When we hear the word mystery, it's like, oh my gosh, but it's a mystery that's going on every day. Have you ever failed in something? That's a death. There's a certain death. And if you have no hope, you stay there in that death. You die in that death. The resurrection of Jesus coming back to life, both physically, but also then gives us hope in our failures if we turn to Him. We say in the book of Romans, which is the most mature, you might say, writing of St. Paul after all of the writings that he did, but it's very deep. Those of us who die in Christ rise in Christ. So that's where that paschal mystery comes, dying with Christ, rising with Christ. And in baptism, we're baptized into his death so that we can rise with him. In other words, that it's his life that we relive in our own. So every failure is not the end. There will be a new resurrection and a new life. And sometimes we're better off after the failure because what? We learn. We learn, hopefully, that we learn not to do it again, or we learn what not to do again. And that's the pattern of life. Or we actually do something that we regret, that's a death, because there's something inside of us spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, that dies with it. We feel bad about that. Well, if we live in, if we continue in that that state of death, we have no hope. But when we turn to Jesus and we say that you've conquered this mistake, and therefore, there's a little glimmer inside. If we have faith, there's that little glimmer that there's a new life coming. There's a new moment coming. There's a new hope coming, which takes me out of the mistake that I made and into a new realm. So there's these little deaths. We fail on a test. We get fired from a job. There's all sorts of things. If we just kind of reviewed our life where we have failed, we have been disappointed. We put our hope in someone, and we have, you know, many beautiful experiences together, and all of a sudden it ends, you know, because maybe I said something that turned them off, and or they just decide they don't want to be around me anymore, and it's a death. I mean, we experience this all the time. It's not to spiritualize it, but to say that's something real. So I think today we should, in some ways, kind of look at what are the deaths in my life, and they can take on all sorts of names in in our experience. We can name all sorts of things that are under different guises, you might say, different hidden coverings, but they're real deaths, either at the level of spirit, emotion, whatever, and physical, but. This is our hope. This is the day of hope, that in every death in my life, every small or big, physical, spiritual, emotional, psychological, every death has a bright day of tomorrow. And this is what Easter, resurrection, is lived out daily in our life, and even more so when we have this personal, beautiful relationship with Jesus. We still have to live the death, and it sometimes takes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, 3 days to get beyond the death when it's an internal thing. But as soon as we begin to think of Him, oh my gosh, there is hope. And then we turn to Him and thank Him and rise with Him. The mistake doesn't go away, but neither does the death on Calvary go away. But there's something new that is in front of me. Pope Francis has said recently in several occasions that crises are important in our life. A crisis is a certain death, either through an error, a mistake, an offense that I've experienced from someone else. There's something that brings about a certain crisis in me. And what does that do? If I have no hope, it destroys me. This sense of overwhelming failure. But if I have hope, in other words, hope that is born out of faith in the person who has risen from the dead, it allows me to reflect and to grow, to mature. And that's what human life is all about, these constant deaths and resurrection. But the beauty of this day, and again, I'm repeating myself, is that what Peter and Simon Peter and John did not find in the tomb was the person who had conquered the failure, conquered the sin, conquered life, death itself. And what they found in that tomb was really light. And so our hope is rooted and sourced only in Jesus Christ. He is our hope and our resurrection. So I want to invite everyone today to, and especially today, if you are still in a crisis of whatever kind, if you're in a moment of sensing being alone, of having failed, making a mistake, whatever your death is today, this is the day to turn your head toward Him, the light, toward Jesus Christ in your heart. I don't know where you are in your faith journey, maybe having little faith, but even the apostles said, Lord, take our little faith and give us more faith. And this is the day for us to say, Lord, I'm in a crisis. I'm not sure I believe anymore, but today's the day of hope and resurrection. Today's the beginning of a new life. And that's what I hope for everyone today on this Easter Sunday.
And Bishop, when we talk about hope, we also think about our loved ones who have passed on. And that gives us comfort on a day like today.
Well, that's the ultimate, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up. That's the ultimate hope, that life is not, as we say, is not finished or ended mm-hmm. here. You know, sometimes we celebrate people's lives and then we forget. We can celebrate 20 years, 100 years that's here, but think of the life that they're living now beyond. That's what we celebrate. We should celebrate. Great. And that's what we celebrate today.
Thank you very much, Bishop. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we will give you a special Easter gift by sharing the word of life for April. You are listening to Our Shepherd's View. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Now, technically, we normally do the word of life on the first Sunday of the month, but since today is Easter, March 31st, we're going to sort of give everyone a special Easter gift by sharing the word of life for the month of April. And the word of life has a very familiar and comforting image. If you would share that with us now, Bishop.
Yes, and I want to say before I read it, you know, what a beautiful day this is. And but this is the day of resurrection. So we've had our death this past year, as I talked about before, of this Paschal mystery that we live. But today is a beautiful day. So I hope as many of you that can will feel welcomed we're very grateful to the Good Shepherd that we're about to hear about. So the word of life for April, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. From John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 11. Images from biblical culture, marked by the slow pace of nomadic and pastoral life, seem far removed from our daily demand for efficiency and competition. Yet we too sometimes feel the need to pause, to find a place to rest, and to encounter someone who welcomes us just as we are. Jesus presents himself as the one who is ready, more than anybody, to welcome us and to offer us rest. Indeed, he is ready to give his life for each one of us. This word of life comes from a long passage in John's Gospel, wherein Jesus assures us that he is the presence of God in each person's life story, just as promised by the prophets to the people of Israel. Jesus is the shepherd and guide who knows and loves his sheep. That is, he knows and loves his people who at times are weary and lost. He is not a stranger who ignores the flock's needs, nor a thief that comes to steal, nor a brigand who kills and scatters, nor a mercenary who acts only out of self-interest. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The flock that Jesus considers to be his own certainly consists of his disciples and all those who have already received the gift of baptism. But there are others too. Jesus knows every human being. He calls them by name and tenderly cares for each one. As the true shepherd, who not only guides us toward life and searches for us whenever we go astray, he has also already given his life for us, so that we can experience the fullness of personal communion with him. This is the will of the Father. And although mortally wounded by sin, we can rediscover our brother and sisterhood. Each of us can try to recognize God's voice, hear his word addressed to us, and trustingly follow it. Above all, we can be sure that we are loved, understood, and forgiven unconditionally by the one who tells us, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." When we experience, even for a bit, this silent but powerful presence in our lives, we begin to ardently want to share this experience and grow in our capacity to care and welcome others. Following Jesus' example, we can try to know and better understand our family members, colleagues, and neighbors, allowing their needs to disrupt our peaceful lives. Love can give us great imagination as we find ways of involving others in what we do and vice versa. In our own small way, we can contribute to building fraternal and open communities capable of patiently and courageously accompanying others on their journey through life. Commenting on this same gospel verse in April of 1997, Focolare founder Chiara Lubich wrote, quote, "Jesus will openly say of himself, 'No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends.' And he lives his offering to the full. His love is a sacrificial love, that is, a love made up of a real willingness to offer, to give one's life. God also asks of us acts of love that have, at least in intention and decision, the measure of his love. Only such a love is Christian love, not just any love, not a veneer of love, but a love so great that it puts our life at stake. By loving in this measure, our Christian lives will take a great qualitative leap, and then we will see men and women from every corner of the earth gather around Jesus, attracted by his voice." But, you know, we all live, as I said before, this paschal mystery, this times in our life when we have need, when we get lost, when we fail, when we're ignored, when we're all these kind of things that happen in our life that can be, and we call them downers, crises, these things that happen to us that in a certain sense destroy something inside of us, whether it's our ego, whether it's our confidence, whether our plans, things get destroyed by death. And of course, the ultimate death is our own physical death. But along the way, there is these moments that just get crushed. The Good Shepherd's there. And I think this is the beauty of a dynamic faith, not just a faith of concepts or a faith of rules and obligations. And those are certainly part of keeping anyone's life in order. But the real life experiences that can be downers, negatives, but they're important in our life because they cause us, if we have faith, to turn to the Good Shepherd. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." To have that confidence, and that's a confidence of faith, that Jesus has laid down his life on the cross for us, and that he loves us so much, and that if he has done that for us on Calvary, it's a one-time self-offering, but it's something that permeates every experience of our life. You know, I'm sure that each one of us today or whenever we read this word of life, we will be able to identify with an open heart, which we should. We never should deny our mistakes, our crises. We need to own them, take them to ourselves, because if we don't, we'll never reach out and grow to the Good Shepherd. But every mistake is an encounter, can be an encounter with Jesus Christ, because he too, we might say, you know, Jesus never sinned, of course, he was God. But on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you abandoned me? What a vulnerable moment when God calls out to God, why have you done this? And it's that that kind of encapsulizes every human feeling of death. It was his, we might say his death before death. It was his internal death that we experience in our daily life all the time, little big ways. So he's already done that. And if he's done it as our big brother, you might say, but our God, our Redeemer, our Savior, he's already done it. So in those moments in the foxhole, you might say, when we're down, the Good Shepherd's there saying, come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. So the Good Shepherd is there to pull us out, to pull us forward in our crisis moments, to help us to grow closer to God and closer to what life really is all about.
I liked that at the very beginning we talked about sometimes we need to take a break, place to rest, and encounter someone who welcomes us just as we are. So we need to remind ourselves to create quiet time, quiet spaces to encounter him.
Yeah, there's something about that. You know, I was with a group of young men the other night, in fact, and you could just sense these young, they went from like 18 years old to maybe 23 years old. But you could just see that their life is different than my generation or maybe the next generation after me. They said we just want to serve. I mean, they're college students, they're high school students, they're graduated and looking for jobs, and they just want to serve. I think that's that we want to pause from the hustle and the bustle, from the competition. We just want to be and really discover life as it really is, and that is the life that is found in the Good Shepherd. I was so edified. So thank you guys if you're listening at all. You were great.
That is a wonderful example. It is always so nice to hear from young people.
And it was good to pause with them.
That is wonderful. Thank you, Bishop. If you would end our program now on this Easter morning with a blessing.
It's the prayer of Easter Sunday. O God, who on this day, through your only begotten Son, have conquered death and unlocked for us the path to eternity, grant, we pray, that we who keep the solemnity of the Lord's resurrection may, through the renewal brought by your Spirit, rise up in the light of life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.